This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is entitled, The Sabbath. After 6 days of work, the Lord took a rest. It is important for us to set aside one day to rest in the Lord. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Tonight, I am going to talk about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. You know, I've gotten a ton of questions, and people are emailing me and asking me. It seems like every few months it seems to roll in very mightily that people are asking me, what about the Sabbath? What day are we supposed to worship on? And what's the teaching of the scriptures about the Sabbath? And so I'm going to try to get through what I've developed tonight, and I'm hoping to get through it all. I may not get through it all. But just know that the Bible has so many verses about the Sabbath. I mean, it is exhaustive, and we could talk about it for the rest of the year, actually. But I've tried to put it in a concise way that you can understand and comprehend the overall message that the scriptures teach us about the Sabbath. Amen. So we're going to start and deal with, first of all, the scriptures in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at the Old Testament passages and what it taught and what it said. And we're going to look at some of these verses very quickly. Let's first of all talk about the fact that the idea of the Sabbath was established by God, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to try to give you time because I know a lot of y'all like to take notes. And so I'm going to try to talk slow, and I might try to rush a little bit because I have so much that I have, and I might not get through all of this, but I want to give you time to take your notes. But let's start off with the understanding that the whole concept and the idea of the Sabbath was established by God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's take a look at those verses. Here's what it says. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So let's begin, first of all, talking about the very important principle. This is going to come up again in a few moments, that after God worked 6 days creating the heavens and the earth, on the seventh day it says he rested from all his work which he had done. God took a rest. And as a matter of fact, you're going to see in just a moment that that's what the word Sabbath means. It means to cease. Or to desist. It means to stop. That I'm not going to continue on in the work process. I'm going to take a break. And that's what the Sabbath means, that you take a break. And that's what God did. He rested. That's a strange concept to think that God needed to rest. But instead, he's modeling for us and he's showing us what it is he wants for us to do, what he wants us to have. And we're actually going to see the meaning of this much more deeper in a few moments. Verse 3 of Genesis 2 says, then God not only rested, but he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Here's an important thing. He blessed that day. He blessed the concept of the Sabbath. It is a blessing. It's a blessed day. And he sanctified it, set it apart. He distinguished it from the other days, at least the concept of what the other day stands for. So God did that. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. So he rested after creation and blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. He rested, he took a break, he ceased, he stopped. Then he blessed that day, and then he sanctified that day. That is with clarity what God did. And we want to have clarity about that. So then we know that the word Sabbath means to cease or desist. It means to cease, to stop, or desist, to make a break in what you've been doing. I've talked to some people that they don't know what it means to stop or to cease. They don't know what it means. I have to sometimes challenge people to understand that God never intended for you to work 7 days a week. Some of you work 7 days a week, after 7 days a week, after 7 days a week, you go on and on and on. And it's important for you to know that that's not good for your health. It is problematic. It is not the way God designed us to function, to live, or to work, to live our lives. And so it says that word means to cease and to desist. And it's important to know that I'm going to talk a moment about this, that this effort that God created occurred before the law. I know some people want to just make it a part of the law, and it is included in the law, but this is a principle that God established and modeled for us before the law was created, before the law was given. This is something that God himself modeled for us of what we need to do. And I want to just begin by pressing this point with you, that this is a principle. This is a principle that that God himself modeled for us to do. And it ought to be a part of your life. As a matter of fact, I am persuaded and convinced how important it is for your longevity, for your health. I think it's important for you to recognize that you need to have built in a rhythm in your life, a cycle, a system of work and rest, work and rest, work and rest. That's the will of God. So I have to press sometimes my staff. They love working around here so much. Some of them working, just working, 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 working. And I have to press them. I have to almost demand them to recognize that they need to have a season and time of rest. And it's important for you. It's important for every child of God, every person, really, every human being, to recognize that God designed for you to have a season and a time of rest. And this model, this principle, was implemented by the Lord before the law was established. Point two, the second commandment was first given to Israel. The Sabbath commandment was first given to Israel while in the wilderness and pertaining to the gathering of manna. So when they were in the wilderness, in their Exodus journey, God gave them this commandment while they were in the wilderness and gathering food. They gathered their meals every day. As a matter of fact, God would give them manna every day. So there was no grocery stores while they were in the wilderness wandering around for all of these many years trying to get to the promised land. They were not close to a Whole Foods store. There was no Safeways or Giants. So God supernaturally provided for them. They woke up every morning and their manna, their bread, their food, what they ate was outside of their tent doors every day. It's a miracle God provided for them for the duration of time. But in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 30, God gives them some instructions as it related to their gathering of manna. And let's take a moment and take a look at that. Let's read Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 through 30. Let's go through this. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for tomorrow is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. The Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" Here's what God is saying to them. He told them to gather it on the sixth day, gather twice as much as you would normally gather, and cook as twice as much as you would normally cook. Because when the Sabbath comes, I don't want you gathering and I don't want you to be cooking. And so when the seventh day comes, as it is in all churches and all situations, you got a few knuckleheads, you got a few people who don't want to listen to what the command of the pastor is, don't want to listen to the command of the shepherd or the word of the Lord. It's really the word of the Lord. This is what God told Moses to tell them. Gather enough food on the sixth day for 2 days, because when the seventh day come, I don't want you gathering. Matter of fact, God says, don't gather because you ain't going to find none. Every day they would get up and their manna would be supernaturally outside their tent doors. But now God has given them these instructions, and It happened that there were some people who still went out to gather, and when they went out there, they didn't find anything. Verse 29. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. This is an instruction from God. It's a principle, actually. It's a truth. God says, I want you to rest from that. I want you to not labor. I don't want you to go out and gather, and I don't want you to cook. And so this is a commandment, an instruction, a principle that God gave to the children of Israel even before he gave the commands. And when we get to point three, God gives them, matter of fact, it does become a command. The Sabbath commandment was given as the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments and applied to all work in all of Israel. So it started before the commandments were given, but it was eventually incorporated as a part of the commandments that were given to the children of Israel. And it is that commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Here we get to chapter 20, and the finger of God has written this in the stone that God gave to Moses. So it's an important concept, and you're going to hear me talking about this tonight and encouraging. Again, our staff people know I'm a stickler about making sure that people get their days off and get their rest. And it's important that each of you know that that's the way God designed it. Let's read Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's stick a pin right there. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who was within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. So get the point. God has now incorporated it in his command, in the law that was given to Moses to give to the people, that, listen, let there not be any work, not your son, not your daughters, not your servants, not anybody visiting you. It's supposed to be a day of rest. As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be a day that's wholly consecrated to God. It's his day. The Sabbath day is supposed to be his day. What's his day? It ought to be his day. His day of worship to him. In his day of resting your flesh and your body. And so I want you to get that in your heart and in your soul. That's the principle of the scriptures. Here's point number four. And this is the point four. The Sabbath was identified, check, this is important too, as a sign of the Mosaic covenant with Israel. It is a sign that God created between the children of Israel and God. It is a sign that they had a covenant with God, a relationship with God, that they were in a, not a contract with God, but a covenant relationship with God. This was one of the principles, things that God says, I want to use this Sabbath to be a sign between the people of God and their relationship with him. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. Right. Now I'm going to let's just look at these verses for a second. Let's look at verses 13 and 17. Let's start with those, because verses 13 and 17 say, number one, that it is a sign between God and the people. Let's look at that. That's not going to be on your screen it's not going to be on your screen, but I am going to take a moment and read it from the scriptures. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, beginning of verse 13, it says this. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. That's verse 13. It tells us it's a signal, a sign between them and God. Slide down to verse 17. Let me read verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And look at this. I'm going to come back to this point in just a moment. And was refreshed. That amazed me when I read that passage there. That God not only rested, but it refreshed him. Here's one of the purposes of the Sabbath is to get you refreshed. Some of you are down and struggling and worn out all the time because you don't rest. Some of you, even on your day off, you're still working. You're still running around doing stuff and got to get this done and got to get that done. That's not the way God designed you to do, to live. You weren't created for that. He wants you to learn how to rest. Lay down, lay yourself down. Lay your body down. And it's a signal, a sign between Israel and the people of God. That's verses 13 and 17 of chapter 31. And then in verse 14, he says this in chapter 31. Verse 14, he says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." Now, check this out. If you dishonored the Sabbath, this is how serious this was with God. If you dishonored it, he says, if you profane it, you'll be put to death. If you disrespect it, if you don't do it, if you don't live by it, you will be put to death, or that person shall be cut off from among the people. They cut fellowship with you. They cut fellowship. They said, this person don't know how to honor the Sabbath. And so they stop having relationships with them. They stop relating with them and having relationship, having fellowship with them. That's probably a better word. Fellowship with them. They cut them off from the camp, cut them off from the people, or put them to death. In that day and age, since they weren't, you know, they were out in the wilderness, they might as well have been put to death if they weren't with the children of Israel. And so, again, God takes this very serious. And then in verse 15, he says, "Work shall be done in 6 days." Here it is. He's saying it again. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Holy to the Lord. Verse 15. "Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." So it's a day of rest. And if you don't honor and respect it, the scripture says, again, you will be put to death. This is the Old Testament seriousness of the Sabbath day with God. Verse 16 says, "It was established as a covenant of Israel." It was established as a covenant of Israel. Verse 16, there it again. "Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant." Now, hear these verses. Hear these profound, powerful verses. Verse 17 again says that we read it already, but let me read verse 17 again. "It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." I'm telling you, that verse was a shock to me to see that this verse says God himself got refreshed. And you want to know why you weren't, you don't ever want to get up and go to work or get up and do what you're supposed to do, because you're not being refreshed. It's important that you build this as a cycle of life. It is important, okay? Now, that's just a capsule, just a quick snapshot of the Old Testament. There's so many verses about the Sabbath day and when it was done and how they did and what they did. This is just a quick snapshot, just to give you the overall idea of how serious the Sabbath was with God. Now, let's go and look at the New Testament passages on the Sabbath. Let's take a look now at what the New Testament says about it. What are the things that the New Testament say about it? And how did Jesus treat this Sabbath teaching? He was under the law and a part of the law. And we're going to take a look at how he responded and the things he said about it. And let's go begin and look at the first thing that the religious leaders of that day used the Sabbath to question the deity of Jesus. Here we have a question among the religious leaders who are judging Jesus about how he treated the Sabbath. And so they have called his relationship with God into question based on how they saw he handled the Sabbath. So John chapter 9 and verse 16 says, therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. So they're looking at how Jesus handled the Sabbath. And I'm going to talk about what he did that gave them that feeling in just a moment. We're going to take a look at a passage that dealt with that. But I want you to understand that they questioned his deity because of that. Let's look at how Jesus responded to their question and their challenge. Jesus responded to the Sabbath challenges that they gave him by teaching that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was, God created the Sabbath so man could have a time to rest. Man wasn't created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the betterment of man, not man was created for the betterment of the Sabbath. Let's read Mark verses 23 through 28. And it tells the full story of what happened in this passage. Now it happened, verse 23, that when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? So the question is raised in Jesus' day. They're gathering food. And why are they doing that? But he said to them, verse 25, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, listen to this, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. He's making a declaration that says, look, I'm the Lord who created human beings. We know from John 1:1, Jesus created human beings. And he said, listen, the Sabbath was made for man, not man created to keep the Sabbath. And so he says, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And then he calls into their review an example in the Old Testament. In first, jot this verse down. We're not going to read it. First Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, where men were hungry and a group of men satisfied their hunger. And the scriptures, when David did this, understood that it was acceptable that in satisfying hunger, you were not breaking the issues of the law. If somebody was hungry, needed to be fed. First Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, highlights for us and teaches us that, and the words of the Lord Jesus, that it's okay to eat. It's okay to do the things that are essential to life and living, because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this concept is that we're not to make the Sabbath the Lord. We're not bowing down to the Sabbath. Some people are bowing down and honoring and worshiping a day. We're not worshiping the day. We're worshiping the Lord of the Sabbath. And that Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord Jesus. And so he gives us those instructions. So how does that apply to us today? What does that mean? I'm glad you're asking me the question, because I think it's critical and essential that we not bow down to and worship a day. I think that's one of the big issues. That's probably all of the questions I get, is that people have put a certain certain deity on a certain day. They have made the day deity. They have made a certain day God. And I believe what Jesus is trying to teach us is it's not the day that's God. We're worshiping God, not a day. I believe that's what he's trying to teach us. But he's also trying to tell us it's important that we build into our schedules an opportunity to rest. So there's often so many people. Here's what most of these questions I get talk about. The questions I get all the time has to do with what day are we supposed to worship? And ultimately, these are questions coming from people who have been confused, or somebody has raised the issue with them that you're supposed to only worship on a certain day. And I want to just take a moment and walk you through why it is that we do our gatherings as a church when we were gathering collectively on Sunday. I think it's, first of all, important to understand that in the early church, the apostles went to the synagogues on the Sabbath. They went to the synagogues on the Sabbath. And you can find plenty of examples. There's a bunch of verses there you'll see right there. Acts 13, Acts 16, Acts 17, Acts 18. You see a ton of verses there that we see the apostles going into the synagogue on the Sabbath. But here's what you're going to recognize. That on the Sabbath, when they went in, they were going in to a place where the Jews were practicing their Judaism. And that's why they went on the Sabbath day. They went on the Sabbath day into the synagogues because the Jews were practicing their Jewish beliefs. And in fact, what they went in there to do was to teach and preach Jesus to them. That's why they went in there, to make a proclamation about who Jesus was. Matter of fact, one of these passages, Acts 13, is one of my favorite passages where Paul and Peter and the disciples go into the synagogue and they preach. They ask them, y'all got something to say? And they gave them the opportunity to preach, and they preached. And they preached so powerfully and under such anointing that the scripture says they asked them to come back the next Sabbath and preach the same sermon again. I very rarely have I ever been, had people ask me to preach the same sermon. But they asked him to preach the same sermon the next Sabbath. And then the next Sabbath came, and the scripture says, Acts 13, almost the whole city came. And what is it that they said that was so profound? They preached forgiveness of sins. That's what they preached. Justification. They preached that God will forgive you and God will justify you, treat you just as if you never did it. But they went, here's my point, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day because that's where they went to where the people who didn't believe in Jesus were. They went in there on that day to worship and praise the living God and preach to them the living God, to declare to them the living God, and to tell them that that living God's name was Jesus Christ, because they had rejected Jesus. And so they went in there to make that proclamation and that declaration on what was then the Sabbath day for the Jews. But when we get to the New Testament church, we see that they practice on a regular on the first day of the week. They gathered, and a part of the reason they did that was to distinguish what they were doing from what the Jews did. The Jews worshiped on the Sabbath day, but the new thing that God has done, the new church, the New Testament church, they worshiped on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday, by the way. The seventh day is on Saturday, and the new day that the early church started was on, and that day is the day that we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. That's the day he got up out of the grave. That's the day they went down to the grave to look for him. When they got down there, he wasn't there. So when we get together, it is us celebrating that we've gone to a place that they said he was dead, but he's alive. We're celebrating that our Christ is alive. Unlike any other religion, our Savior is alive and well, and that's why we worship on the Sabbath day, on the first day of the week, the Sabbath, the Sunday. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says this. Acts 20, verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Y'all see that verse? That's the Apostle Paul preaching to them on the first day of the week, and he preached so long until it got midnight. Thank the Lord your pastor don't preach till midnight. But this man preached till midnight on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 is another verse that giving us some insight into the practices of the early church. It says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So Paul says to the Corinthian church, y'all, when y'all get together, you know, lay aside, gather your offerings so that we don't have to spend time doing that. So when y'all come together, pay your offerings, give your tithes and offerings. Do that with how God has prospered you. And so that again is gives us just a glimpse into the mindset of God and what the early church did. It gives us some insights into their practices. Now, what is the ultimate message? What is the ultimate message of the Sabbath? It is the message of rest. That's what the ultimate message. The ultimate message of the Sabbath is the message of rest. And that message of rest has implications beyond your physical rest. It has other meanings that I want to spend just a few moments talking about with you, and then I will be finished. And we'll take any questions that anybody might have. So that's the ultimate message I want you to get. It is the message of rest. The message of rest relates to your physical body resting, but it's also a message about spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. See, the whole reason, I think one of the reasons God even created the rest piece is that we know through history, through the reading through the Old Testament, we know that the Old Testament saints had to do work. They had to burn sacrifices, and they had to come to the temple, and they had to bring certain kinds of animals and offer them up as a sacrifice to God. And the priests had to take it into the holies of holies. There was a work that was involved. Their relationship with God was tethered to efforts and works that the priests and the people had to do. It was an Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were commandments that they had to obey, and they had to do certain things to be in right standing with God. But God gives us a glimpse of his heart that yes, there was a season in time when work was involved, but now that we are in a new dimension, we're in a new season, and that season is that we no longer rest. We no longer work, but we rest. We don't work. Jesus did the work for us when he died on the cross. We don't have to sacrifice no offerings. We don't have to bring no lambs, no goats. We don't have to bring certain kind of animals. We are not holy, and we don't get into the relationship with God on the basis of human efforts. This is the thing that we're trying to get everybody to comprehend and know. It's not based on your human efforts. We have a relationship with God based on what Jesus did for us already, and he wants us to enter into his rest. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 are saying to us. Listen, look at this. Now it says, listen to this. Therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. Just like God, when he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, he says, there remains a rest for the people of God. We have a relationship with God, and we got it because we didn't work. It's not based on our labor, our efforts, not because we did anything. It's based on us resting in what Jesus did on the cross for us. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. That's you and I. We're resting. We're depending on the work of what Christ did for us. Let us, verse 11, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. This is profound and powerful. I don't know if you can get a hold of this and understand. You don't have to do nothing. It's not on the basis of how many choirs you sing in. It's not on the basis of how much tithes you pay. We do our service to the God not to get saved, not to have a relationship with God. We don't work for that reason. We do the things we do because we are saved, and because we honor God, and because we love him and we want to advance his kingdom. We're not doing it for a relationship with God. That, my brothers and sisters, is a very, very important piece that I need you to get in your heart and understand. It's not of works. We've read through Ephesians and through the New Testament, really, that so our salvation, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. No man can boast. Not of works. We're resting. We are not depending on our efforts. I talk to so many people who think that their salvation is on the basis of their works, on the basis of they got baptized, on the basis that they belong to a church, on the basis of their efforts. That is not why we are saved, saints. We're resting in the work of what Jesus did for us. And so I go back to Exodus 31:17, that God has called us to be refreshed because of what Christ did for us. So the Sabbath means that God rested, we rested. Now, let me take you to a final passage that I think will sum up this whole matter. The whole New Testament declares point six here, that we each should be persuaded in our own hearts as it pertains to the Sabbath worship, what day you worship. Here's what my conviction is. I believe the God I serve is much bigger than a God who only thinks that you have to do something on a particular day. My God is bigger than that. As a matter of fact, I believe God wants us to know how and learn and be persuaded that we ought to be worshipers every day. That we worship God as a lifestyle, not as a single day. And we practice gathering together, not because that's the only day that we worship. We're people that ought to be worshiping every day. We ought to wake up every day worshiping God. We ought to go through our day worshiping God and honoring Him every day. But there ought to be one day that we set aside and rest. Here's what Romans chapter 14 says. I want you to turn to Romans 14, verse 13. Here's what it says. That's not going to come up on the screen, but I'm going to read it, and hopefully you got your Bible, and you can turn it. We're going to start at verse 1. It's verses 1 through 13. Here's what it says. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, we need to be respectful to people's convictions and beliefs about what they believe God wants them to do. He says, one person thinks they can eat everything. Another person thinks they only eat certain things. Don't condemn them because of that. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person, verse 5, highlight verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Rome, he said to them, y'all stop arguing over these matters. He wants everybody to be persuaded in what God tells them to do in these kinds of matters. Be persuaded in your own heart. If you're convicted that and you believe that you can only worship on one day and you got to go to church on that day, fine. We will not condemn you for that. I see people condemning people because they don't go to church on a certain day. I don't believe that's the heart of God. Matter of fact, I believe my God is greater than that. Verse 6, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's profound. Stop judging each other, because one day everybody going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for whatever decision you made, whatever choice you made, however you acted. We're going to have to give an answer to God. And verse 11 says, for as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of you shall give account of himself to God. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So everybody needs to be persuaded in their own hearts and minds of what we are supposed to do. I got one more verse I want to tell you, and then we'll be done. It is Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And then if there are any questions, I'll take, if you got any questions, you can send those in and we'll answer those questions. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. I like this verse too. He says, y'all talking about festivals and foods and drinks and moons and Sabbath. He said, all of these things point to a greater truth. And if you get bogged down in the minutiae, you will miss the greater message that God's trying to teach us. And the greater message as it relates to the Sabbath is that we are not saved by works or efforts of our own. We are saved by virtue of resting in what Christ did on the cross for us. So jot down that verse. It's a shadow of things to come. The Sabbath is a shadow of a greater truth. And that greater truth is, number one, God created us to rest. And number two, that greater message is Christ died on the cross for us and delivered us from having to do the works that the Old Testament saints had to do. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I'm praising God. I don't have to kill no goats. I don't have to raise no lambs. I don't have to do any of that. Thank God Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the matchless Lamb of God. He died one time and his blood is sufficient to cover all of our sins for all of our lives. And I'm praising God for that. That's great news. Amen. All right, let me see if I got any questions. Let me run to that very quickly. So let me go to that real quick. I do have a few questions. Let me try to hit a few of those before I run out of time. How should we spend our time resting? I think resting, just doing nothing, is a great thing to do. Just lay in the bed, sleep on the couch, do whatever you need to do, or just rest. Don't exert energy, I think, is a great thing to do. Now, here's the next question. What day is the Sabbath day? Is it Saturday or Sunday? In the historical sense, the Sabbath historically was a Saturday. That is what the Sabbath originally was for the Jewish people. But now God, I believe, gives us the opportunity, as the people of God, to recognize that every day ought to be a day that we worship God. And as a matter of fact, here's the truth. You know, some people have to work on Saturday and some people have to work on Sunday. Some people have to work on all kinds of days. And I believe the heart of God is that, we have essential people that work. Sunday is a work day for me. I work on Sundays. So everybody needs to find a day that they're not working. So Sunday can't be my Sabbath day. I have another day that's my day of rest, and I try to lounge and rest and read and worship and sing and just chill. But I do think it's a great day to devote to Christ. I hear that we should not even consume seafood on these days. Is this true? I am not familiar with that scripture. I'm not saying that there is no scripture that says that. I know that there's scripture that gives us things to eat and not eat. But I would think, in my understanding of scripture, that if there's something that you shouldn't eat on any day, that it wouldn't be restricted on that you shouldn't eat it on just certain days. I think if it's something the scripture says you shouldn't eat, then that would be true of any day, because there's something unhealthy about that when the scripture gives that. But I'm not familiar with that verse. I'm not saying it's not there. I'd have to research that out. I am a young teenager who is about to work, and I told them I can work after church. My question is, should we not work at all? Kind of confused. Here's my point to you today. The day that you make your Sabbath day, if any person has to work on a Sunday, and some people do have to work on Sundays, I work on Sundays, or whatever day, or Sabbath, or Saturday, whatever day it is, then your Sabbath day has to be another day. So you find the other 6 days that you work, but then you set a day that's your Sabbath day, that's your day to rest. I think that's how that should work. I think you should find a day that you devote to rest and that you devote to your worship of God. So I love your attitude and your heart about going to work after church. And that's, if you have a job that gives you that flexibility, great. But I don't want anybody to feel as though if you have to work on a certain day that you are committing some kind of a sin. I am not persuaded of that. You be persuaded on what you think God wants you to do. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Thank you all for joining me today. I'm going to, encourage you tonight to find a day to rest. That's what I want you to do. Find a day to rest. Find a day that you're not laboring and working, but it's your day to spend in the presence of God.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. The ultimate message of the Sabbath is to physically and spiritually rest. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbclinarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.